Track 2. Hello and welcome to the news recorded on Wednesday, the 7th of March. I'm Margaret.
I'm Louise.
And I'm Joyce.
And your sound engineers this week are Martin and John. Now Louise will start us off with the news.
A campaign to support a young mountain biker who was paralysed after falling from his bike has raised more than £10,000 in 1 week. Peter Lloyd, aged 21, from Dudley, broke his neck in August last year, leaving him paralysed from the neck down. The biker, who is a sports scholar at Heriot Watt University in Edinburgh, was a talented rider who had previously placed on the podium in a number of races. The crash happened on the last 100 metres of a trial ride, shattering a vertebra after landing on his head. Peter spent 7 weeks in intensive care in Edinburgh on a ventilator and dialysis machine before being transferred to the National Spinal Injuries Unit at the Queen Elizabeth Hospital in Glasgow. Now, the mountain bike community has rallied behind a campaign, raising more than £11,000. Peter said, "I'm paralysed from the neck down and use my chin to control my wheelchair. I still plan to live as well as my condition allows, along with my incredibly strong and supportive fiancé. I'm so thankful I didn't suffer a head injury, so I am still the same person I have always been." Fellow mountain biker Ben Mills launched the appeal on crowdfunding page JustGiving to support Peter's recovery and rehabilitation. Peter hopes to use the money for physiotherapy in America, as well as an adapted wheelchair for him to use. He added, "Thank you so much to everybody for their very kind donations. In the future, I hope to use the funds to travel to America for intensive physiotherapy, along with any future clinical trials which might improve my condition. My other plans are to get a chin-controlled off-road wheelchair to allow me to go riding with friends, even if it is rather difficult to how it was before, and to buy an accessible van so I can get around and also return to university to complete my degree in mechanical engineering." Ben said, "Peter's going to need as much support, both emotionally and financially, as possible as he adapts to the changes he has been dealt and goes through rehabilitation. Please dig deep whether you are a friend, fellow racer, or part of the mountain biking community. To support the appeal, go to www.justgiving.com/crowdfunding/Pete Lloyd-down-not-out.
As world-famous Christian preacher, Billy Graham was laid to rest this week. His memorable visit to the Black Country has been recalled. Billy Graham travelled the world preaching the Bible and advised numerous US presidents on spirituality. Among the locations he visited was the Dudley Borough in April 1946. His appearance generated a lot of interest in the area where he and other American speakers visited Dudley Baptist Church in Dudley, Himley Road Methodist Church and the Zohar Methodist Church, both in Lower Gornal. Mr. Graham died at his home last month, aged 99. His funeral took place at the Billy Graham Library in Charlotte, North Carolina. His visit to the Black Country has been revealed by Dave Pope, a 69-year-old Christian worker from Lower Gornal. Mr. Pope worked with Mr. Graham as a gospel singer and performed with him in Europe and America. Mr. Pope was told about Mr. Graham's visit by his friend called Dorothy Littlewood, who is in her 90s, and founded the Gornal Youth Choir. He said, "She told me she remembers when Mr. Graham and other speakers from America came to Dudley. It was a big event, and there were lots of people. They were touring the UK at the time. Mr. Graham was a fantastic communicator, reminiscing about a conversation he had with Mr. Graham while in Amsterdam. Mr. Pope said, "I always remember this saying that he told me, which was, 'Never be worried about your weaknesses, because when you stop worrying, you put your faith in your strength, and that is God's work.'" He added, "Mr. Graham was a great communicator." Dr. Graham just thanked us for what we were doing in our work on the computers. He seemed to be very aware of the importance of new technology in ministry, and he was also sensitive to the needs of other cultures. Over the decades, he stopped using the term crusades, as which was seen as an offensive term to Muslims, and spoke of mission instead.
Black country-based discount chain Poundland closed 1 in 10 of its stores last year, reversing 27 years of non-stop growth. Poundland closed around 80 stores last year, but like-for-like sales rose in the 3 months to the Christmas period. In a trading update from its South African parent company, Steinhoff, it was revealed Poundland had shut 10% of its more than 900 stores. By September, it was down to 834 in the UK, Ireland and Spain. It was paying the price for its troubled takeover of 99p stores in 2015. A 6-month delay due to a competition watchdog probe left many of its stores in a poor state. The cost of converting them to Poundland hit profits, and subsequently the business was bought by South African retail giant Steinhoff for £610 million in 2016. Since then, Steinhoff has been caught up in a major accounting scandal that has seen both its chief executive and its billionaire chairman quit. In the trading update, Steinhoff's acting chair, Heather Stone, said as a result of the crisis, the group's essential working capital had largely dried up. But Poundland and Steinhoff's European arm secured their own vital refinancing last year, securing their future. At the same time, Poundland celebrated a record Christmas season, said the report, with robust 5% sales growth on a like-for-like basis, which strips out the impact of the drop in store numbers. Founded by former market trader Steve Smith and his father from an upstairs office in Sedgley, the company is still based at its headquarters in Willenhall, employing around 700 people there, and at its major warehouse in Bilston. The Smith family sold up for £50 million in 2002, and the company went on to have a string of owners. Since Steinhoff's takeover, Poundland has started to move away from selling everything for a pound, with the introduction of £2 and £5 products. This continues to be successful, and it will be extended this year, said Steinhoff. It has also continued the rollout of Pep & Co, discount clothing outlets, as stores within a store at Poundland branches, with 21 added during the last 3 months of 2017. That gave it 132, with another 150 due this year. Meanwhile, Poundland's 9 Deals stores in Spain saw sales rise 10% on a like-for-like basis. The business is now aiming to expand into Eastern Europe, opening 20 stores in Poland this year, alongside Steinhoff's existing Pepco chain.
An eye-watering £22 million has been spent on redundancy payouts at Wolverhampton Council in the last 7 years. New figures show that about £3.1 million per year of council cash was paid out as part of redundancy packages for staff. A campaigner has claimed people will be horrified to see such an incredible amount of money being used in this way. But a council cabinet member has said the redundancies made far greater savings for the authority than keeping people working unnecessarily. Through a Freedom of Information (FOI) request sent to Wolverhampton Council, figures show 2,303 people were made redundant from the organisation between April 2011 and December last year. While the total number of people being asked to leave varying over the years, with 718 made redundant in 2014, but only 89 in 2012, The number equated to about 329 people sacked off each year, and a total of £21,736,697 was spent on getting rid of those workers. The highest payout was made in 2014, with £6,749,410 dished out to expendable workers. The lowest was in 2012, with £929,570 spent. Rob Quarmby, a campaigner for the Liberal Democrats, said, "People will be horrified that millions of pounds have been used in this way. What these figures mean is that some senior staff will have been getting golden goodbyes that would make the eye water, and all the while, this incompetent Labour council moan about having no cash. There's no point trying to make efficiency savings in one area while millions are being needlessly wasted in another." But Councillor Andrew Johnson, Cabinet Member for Resources, explained it was less costly to make someone redundant than it was to keep them on needlessly. He said, "It's basically because the government has passed into austerity measures and has cut back on our grant by 50%. So we've had to downsize the organisation to stay basically solvent. But it's very strictly controlled. We only allow people to go on redundancy if it's in the interest of the council as an organisation. And there is a strict rule that the maximum period of payback is 18 months. It can't be longer than that. So we're actually making a saving. If we had kept these people on the books and working for us, then the cost would be far, far greater."
An historic Black Country college is in talks with council bosses to take over the running of an old town hall. King Edward's College is bidding to run Stourbridge Town Hall and has held advanced talks with Dudley Council. The college established was in Stourbridge in 1552, and it wants to use the site for community events and also for extra space for some of its activities. College Principal Remley Mann said, "This is good news for the town and good news for the college. Our plans are to preserve the current usage of the town hall, providing an invaluable public building for the use of the community, as well as giving the college extra space for some of our activities. The college has played a key role in the community for over 500 years, so we are honoured to be guardians of this important building, to secure its future as a focal point for the local community. Under proposals, Dudley Council will make the hall, opened in 1887, available under community asset transfer powers, enabling councils to transfer council-owned buildings to not-for-profit entities. Both parties are in talks and are ironing out the main details of the agreement. If a deal is successful, it would become the latest initiative of its kind in the borough, after Charity Dudley CVS took over the running of Briley Hill Civic Hall. The charity was given the green light in November to continue running the venue following a successful 18-month trial. The deal meant that Dudley Council will save £100,000 a year on running costs. Briley Hill Civic Hall was a thriving venue from the 60s to 80s, but became underused. However, it has now been given a new lease of life. Welcoming the new proposals for Stourbridge, Wollaston and Stourbridge Council Town Councillor Nicholas Barlow said, "I think it is a good move for the community. King Edward's has been there for a considerable amount of time and has strong links with Stourbridge. They have put forward some good ideas to keep the town hall alive and moving forward. The town hall is an extremely popular venue. King Edward's, which is rated good by Ofsted, plans to invest in the building for the future development, the town hall as a community space, as well as a place for learning activities." Councillor Ian Kettle, Cabinet Minister for Regeneration said, as part of our commitment to deliver council services more efficiently and breathe new life into our town centres, we are looking at alternative ways of running our town halls. Following the successful running of Riley Hill Civic Hall by Dudley CVS, we're now also looking at the possibility of the community assets transfer of Stourbridge Town Hall to King Edward VI College. Stourbridge Town Hall is already a successful and popular venue, and we believe, under the management of the college, it will continue to be enjoyed by performers and audiences for generations to come. We will keep current users informed of developments, but want to assure everyone, if the transfer takes place, it will ensure this valued community asset remains an important venue in Stourbridge for the wider community.
Councillors have given the green light to a 13-storey landmark office building as the next phase of development at Paradise, Birmingham. They have given planning permission for the 280,000-square-foot One Centenary Way building, which will overlook a transformed Centenary Square. Meanwhile, construction firm BAM has just started work on 2 Chamberlain Square, while work is continuing on improvements to the public space in Chamberlain Square. Work on the nearly completed 1 Chamberlain Square building, to be the new regional headquarters of accountants PwC, is currently suspended after the collapse of builder Carillion. Work on the newest building is expected to start later this year. Designed by Birmingham-based Glenn Howells Architects, 1 Centenary Way incorporates 3-metre-wide horizontal windows, encased within an exposed darker structural steel façade. The building will overlook the redesigned Centenary Square and will open out onto Centenary Way. The pedestrian boulevard linking Victoria, Chamberlain and Centenary Squares, offering large offices, floor plates of 22,500 square foot and space for shops and restaurants at ground level. Number 1, Centenary Way, will be the first building developed as part of Phase 2 of Paradise, Birmingham. The next phase will also deliver a further office building, 3 Chamberlain Square, along with a new 250-bedroom four-star hotel. Chris Taylor, head of private markets at Hermes Investment Management, said, "Paradise Birmingham is already changing the face of the city and is fast becoming the premier commercial address. After the excellent progress made on the first 2 buildings, we are now looking ahead to Paradise Birmingham's future. This next phase incorporates an outstanding building to front Centenary Square. The scheme represents an effective place-making approach, delivering a vibrant new destination at the very heart of Birmingham. 1 Centenary Way will, I am sure, become a noted city landmark and a gateway to the whole development. At £1.8 million square feet, Paradise Birmingham will deliver up to 10 new buildings, offering offices, shops, bars, cafes, restaurants and a 4-star hotel across 17 acres. Birmingham Council leader, Councillor Ian Ward, said, "Paradise Birmingham is already generating an important boost to our local economy. It is providing not just cutting-edge space for occupiers, but also essential skills and jobs for people across the city, and remains a key marker of our ongoing renaissance. As a central part of our wider regeneration vision for Birmingham, the scheme is becoming a destination in its own right and fulfilling its promise of joining up key parts of the city centre. This improved connectivity benefits everyone and helps us set the tone of what we are looking for in the major regeneration schemes going forward.
Controversial plans to close HMRC offices in the Black Country will be debated in Parliament this week. Dudley North MP Ian Austin has urged Work and Pension Secretary Esther McVie to rethink proposals that have put the jobs at risk of 250 civil servants based at the HMRC's Tax Credits Office at the waterfront in Broyley Hill, Dudley. He has secured a parliamentary debate on the issue tomorrow evening, Wednesday the 7th. The Labour MP said he will be using the debate to call on ministers to look again at the decision, keep the Broyley Hill offices open and ensure the highly skilled HMRC staff are used to assist with the introduction of Universal Credit. This decision came as a huge shock to staff and I am doing all I can to get the government to rethink this decision, Mr Austin said. It's my job to stand up for local people, which is why I have secured this debate and will be demanding ministers think again. These are hard-working and highly skilled public servants. They are very worried about their future and we need to secure their jobs. Last year, the government made the waterfront an enterprise zone, but now they're planning to close the office. And just weeks ago, the highly skilled staff at HMRC were told they would be working on the introduction of Universal Credit, but now they've been told their jobs are at risk. Staff were initially told they would be transferred to the Department for Work and Pensions to work on the introduction and implementation of Universal Credit. Then, in October, they were informed they would remain at the waterfront offices working on the new benefit. But in a shock U-turn last month, the proposed closure of the offices was announced. A HMRC spokesperson said, "We want to retain the skills, knowledge and experience of everyone affected by the decision. We will do everything we can to find alternative roles for our staff. As the tax credits work, they do reduces in the years ahead." The debate will take place tomorrow, Wednesday the 7th of March at 7 p.m.
Team Black Country Boys are saddling up to cycle to Amsterdam and raise money for charity. Helzowen North councillor Stuart Henley and his friends Bill Campbell, along with Peter Bennett, will be pedalling the 145-mile journey wearing the red, white and black flag. They are joining an army of 300 riders taking part in the Football to Amsterdam event in the hope of raising awareness about prostate cancer, a disease that affects 1 in 8 men in the UK. 2 weeks before the World Cup kicks off, a total of 400 football fans cycle 145 miles over 2 days, finishing at Ajax's Amsterdam Arena A. The team of three from Dudley, which is hoping to raise £3,000 for Prostate Cancer UK, has raised £845 so far. A fundraising event will be held on May the 5th at Parks Hall Social Club in Dudley from at 7 p.m. There will be live music, competitions, a raffle and auction, where football tickets, a signed Warsaw Football Club ball and entry into local attractions will be available. Tickets cost £3 for adults and £2 for children, which can be bought from Mr. Campbell on 07961 068352. The team took part last year and kits decorated with the Black Country flag. This year's outfit have been sponsored by Fixed Wheel Brewery in Helzowen. Councillor Henley said, "I had a scare a few years ago, but thankfully it turned out to be nothing. We want to encourage people to get checked. More people are becoming aware thanks to events like this or high-profile figures talking about it, such as Stephen Fry, who is recovering from prostate cancer surgery. Last year was good. It was hard in some parts. It was definitely a challenge, but it is for a good cause." To train, we get on bikes and belt out about 80 or 90 miles. You have to push yourself. I have to admit I have not started training yet, but I'm definitely still going to do it. Our tops are sponsored by Fixed Wheel Brewery in Hales Owen, so it is great that local businesses are helping us out. The specially designed kits can be bought on Facebook page Team Black Country Boys 2018, and all the proceeds go to charity. Prices range from £15 for gloves to £45 for the long-sleeve cycle top or bibbed shorts, which can also be bought by emailing hn-streetwatch@outlook.com or texting 079-671-42367. Participants can set off from Lee Valley Velo Park or Barnsley's Oakwell Stadium, finishing at Ajax's Amsterdam Arena to celebrate. To donate, go to justgiving.com/teams/black-country-boys.
The old £10 notes will still be taken at a Dudley Building Society. Dudley Building Society will continue to accept old £10 notes over the coming weeks. Legal tender status for the old £10 notes ended on March the 1st. The new polymer £10 notes has been in circulation since September last year. The Society, with branches located in Briley Hill, Lower Gornal, King Swinford, Purton and Dudley Town Centre, is encouraging everyone to check behind the sofas, in the piggy banks, in old jackets or jeans pockets to look for any old notes. The Society will continue to accept them from people, whether they are a member of the Society or not. Head of Operations Raj Bain said, "The deadline seems to have crept up on a number of people. We will be in a position to exchange old £10 notes for a number of weeks, either by a direct swap in a branch or by putting the spare £10 notes into a savings account."
Morning News' iconic South Bank stand could become one of the biggest single-tier stands in the country under initial Wolves Stadium redevelopment plans. Wolves are considering expanding the Jack Highwood stand, commonly known as the South Bank, to a capacity of up to 10,000 seats. It's believed they hope to build back on the existing stand, which houses around 5,000 fans, and keep it as a one-tiered stand. However, the car park immediately behind the stand is owned by Carillion, and it's understood that potentially lengthy negotiations are currently ongoing as to the purchase of the land. However, any Molyneux redevelopment work might not take place next season, even if Wolves win promotion to the top flight. It's believed that spending money on the team would be a higher priority, with any stadium expansion only taking place in the event of Wolves staying in the Premier League. The South Bank could double in size under the initial plans. The redevelopment of Molyneux has been on hold since 2012, when the team was relegated from the Premier League. The £18 million Stan Cullis stand opened that year, and under £40 million proposals spearheaded by previous owner Steve Morgan, the Steve Bull and Jack Hayward stands would have been next, both with two tiers. With Wolves now edging nearer to a return to the top flight, owners Frozen are working on what would be a revamp plan to expand Molyneux and will also be formulating a proposal for the Steve Bull stand. Managing Director Laurie Dalrymple told the Express and Star in October that initial discussions had taken place and that the club could keep the South Bank as a single tier, after feedback from supporters. He said at the time, "The biggest box to tick is promotion. That's when we can really start talking about it. One of the reassurances fans want is around the South Bank. They want it as a single tier, which is clearly something we'd want to ensure that we fulfil their requirements and wishes. It is also important to retain some of the existing really important features of the ground. It may be about looking at something different, other than the 2010 plans. Given the time that's elapsed, it's not to say we'd rip up those plans, but I think we'd have to review and say, is this still the best thing? It's a completely different owner now. They may have a totally different perspective in terms of what to do with the stands, what to do with the whole Molyneux footprint. The South Bank, in its current guise, opened in 1993 when the Jack Harris stand was built on the site of the old South Bank Terrace. In 2015, it was renamed after Sir Jack Haywood, who died earlier that year, aged 91. Wolverhampton-based construction and services giant Carillion is currently in administration. Both Wolves and the government's insolvency services, which acted on behalf of Carillion, declined to comment.
Thousands of new homes could be built in the Black Country and Staffordshire to help meet a housing shortfall in the West Midlands. Land near Stourbridge and land north of Penkridge have been included as preferred sites in a report assessing where tens of thousands of new homes will be built over the next 20 years to meet the needs of the rising Midlands population. An urban extension could be created in Dudley, providing between 1,500 and 7,500 homes, according to the report, while Penkridge could see a similar urban extension with a similar range of homes earmarked. Housing bosses are coming under pressure to commit to sites for new developments. Land needs to be found for more than 20,000 homes to be built by 2036, and with space at a premium in densely populated areas such as Birmingham and Wolverhampton, officials have had to cast their eyes further afield. A report on the Greater Birmingham housing market areas also said there was an onus on all councils across the West Midlands to work together to meet housing needs. The sites in Dudley and Penkridge are two of four to be identified for urban extensions, with the others being east of Lichfield and north of Tamworth. Finer details of where the Dudley site would be have not yet been revealed. Stourbridge councillor Nicholas Barlow said he would be opposed to plans that threaten the Green Belt. He said, "I would be disappointed to have new housing built on Green Belts when we know we have got significant brownfield sites that are absolutely no use at all." The big concern is being part of the combined authority. It needs to ensure other authorities in the Midlands are listening to on equal footing and the district councils in Worcestershire and Staffordshire, because it will put additional strain on existing resources like schools and health centres. It is all well and good having a site to build a number of houses on, but we need to look at what the additional impact will be. Penkridge councillor Len Bates said the village would not be able to cope with thousands of new homes. He said Birmingham is putting a great deal of pressure on local authorities in the surrounding area to meet their housing quota. Penkridge certainly couldn't stand any major number of houses. The infrastructure is struggling to cope now. It's just not on. The schools can't cope and the health centre can't cope. 4 years ago, we took a major hit with the Lime Hill development for 280 homes, and we have now got another application for 200 houses. This will cause a great deal of concern. There is already a lot of unease among people in Penkridge about sites that have been already allocated. Housing chiefs have been tasked with finding locations for 78,000 homes over the next 20 years, but already have sites in mind for around 3/4 of that total.
And with that final news item from Joyce, we'll now make way for this week's notices. So it's goodbye from Margaret.
Goodbye from Louise.
And goodbye from Joyce.